It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's along for the ride as well. It is a busy Monday. Lots happening over the weekend. We'll tip a cap to those that deserve a little cap tipping. We'll also talk about the Rockets weekend, Astros hot takes. But my goodness gracious, that on cloud wearing, stock trading, non-carb eating, skinny, willin' Dillon son of a gun made two trades today. Woo! This is Nick Caserio. First day of the week. He's strutting, he's styling and profiling. Tough to keep these on clouds down.
He's busy. Busy man.
He's made two trades today.
Out of nowhere.
He's made two trades today. You want to hit these chronologically?
Yeah, let's do them chronologically.
Chronologically. Yeah, if you haven't heard the news, you've been living under a rock, right? If you're listening to us for the news, what are you doing? Anyways, the Texans traded Tytus Howard. That's the first trade they made today. He's going to the Cleveland Browns for a fifth round pick. It's actually the Las Vegas Raiders pick. The Browns got the Raiders first, I don't remember how, but they got the fifth rounder, so it's the first pick of the fifth round. Texans trade that, trade Tytus for that. What is your takeaways here, Big Joe?
I mean, we talked about like how to save money last week, and we talked about the idea of moving on from Tytus Howard. I'll be honest, when we were discussing it and I was thinking trade, I was thinking higher than a fifth. That's really, I mean, it's basically a fourth rounder since it's the first pick. It's okay.
Okay.
It's not great. I'm not surprised they did it. They've totally revamped this offensive line, or will continue to revamp this offensive line. It just, to me, leaves more questions than anything. I get why you save the money. I think I feel about this trade is how you feel about the Jesus Sanchez trade.
Mm.
Is I want to see what happens next. Because right now I look at an offensive line that was bad and now is even worse. And I don't really get how they're going to solve it and make it better to try to win a Super Bowl next year, because that should still be this team's aspirations with how good the defense is. So I want to wait and see. But my first initial reaction was, meh, okay.
Kind of saw it coming with Tytus Howard being traded. I have receipts on that too. Yeah, I thought that they could do what they did with Laremy Tunsil to Tytus Howard. Nick Caserio, for better or worse, views these players as commodities. I'm not sure that Tytus Howard's value is ever going to be higher. You know how I know that?
Because he got paid?
Because he got a $63 million three-year contract as soon as he was traded to Cleveland. Do you think that Tytus Howard's worth $21 million a year?
I do not.
Okay. So if he's not worth $21 million a year, why wouldn't you trade him?
Okay. So I normally agree with that philosophy.
Okay.
The only reason why I disagree in this instance is because now you have to hope that at pick 28 and through free agency that guys want to come here and the board falls your way to rebuild this offensive line.
Not necessarily. Not if you address it in free agency or via trade.
Trade, yes. But free agency, I mean, like Wyatt Teller would be, I think, you know, kind of one guy goes to the Browns, one guy goes to the Texans. That can work out well for you. I'm with that move. I think that makes sense. He's more of a pure guard in what it is. I don't think Blake Fisher is part of the long-term part of this discussion at all.
No.
It leaves me a lot of questions. It leaves me a lot of questions just about what the state of this offensive line is going forward. Yes, you can address it in free agency. Now, my question is, I wonder what the market...
Hold on.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to pay Tytus $21 million, why do you care they traded him?
Because you need offensive linemen that are good, and he's good.
Do you not... Well, he's slightly above average.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll accept that.
Slightly above average.
I'll accept that.
Like, good. I don't know if he's good. Like, I think he's all right. I think he's pretty good. Like, and you can even sell me that he's one of your best offensive linemen. Like, I get that. But it's like the old quote. I think it was with Duke Snyder. If we can lose 100 games with Duke Snyder, we can lose 100 games without him. Like, all these people have been out of shape today. I've seen it from everybody. Mostly people who are friends with Titus Howard, quite frankly. They're like, oh, my goodness, Titus Howard's gone. I'm going to be so sad. I'm losing my friend. I'm losing my buddy. He's gone. He's forever. He's going to be gone. If the Texans last year had, what was it, the second worst pass block win rate in the NFL, the third worst run block win rate in the NFL, they were putting lipstick on a pig last year. They were putting lipstick on a pig to keep C.J. Stroud upright, and because of scheme, and because Stroud getting rid of the football quicker and all of that stuff. And yes, they were squeezing the most they could out of the fruit that wasn't very big, that they were able to be somewhat productive. Like, they were keeping their head above water despite being a terrible offensive line. They were inept in talent. There's a reason that, like, how do you win win rate in like these analytics, sabermetrics, whatever you want to call it? You win one-on-one matchups. So if the Texans are the worst in the league, about worst in the league in both of these categories, what does that tell you? It tells you that they're losing one-on-one matchups left and right. It's not only Titus Howard. I think Titus Howard was maybe their second-best offensive lineman. I would go Ed Ingram number one, Titus Howard two, and Titus Howard has flexibility, all of that. But I don't think Titus Howard is a good football player. I anticipated and have been proven correct that Titus Howard was going to want a contract extension for a number that I wasn't going to be comfortable paying Titus Howard.
Yeah.
So if I'm not going to give him the extension, I'm not going to keep him around for just one more unhappy season that is an above average player whenever I can get something of value for him. Now, one area where I was surprised, Joe, is that they didn't make this trade with like a June 1st designation, because that would have saved them a lot more in cap space.
Yeah.
Would have saved them a lot more in cap room. Where this is only saving them like $4.6 million, and the dead money here is as big as Titus Howard. It is a big number that you're having to absorb. Now, it does free up a lot of cash for the Houston Texans. So you allow your capologist to kind of, you know, mess with the ratio to be able to clear some space here a little bit. I personally don't mind this trade. I don't care that they traded one of their best two offensive linemen on one of the worst offenses in the NFL for the second year in a row.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, because you're right. They're bad. And honestly, it's kind of how I felt last year with Tunsil. Is it going to get much worse? No, it's not. I'm more not confident in Caserio getting it right as they fix this. The idea of trading Howard makes sense. Again, I don't want to pay him $21 million a year. The Browns, this is a move where they needed to make. They literally have zero of their five offensive linemen returning next season, so they needed to have somebody out there that makes sense for them. He does. For the Texans, now it's just about who do you get to replace him, either guard, tackle, both, maybe. Honestly, you probably need a left guard and a right tackle now going to free agency. So I'm fine with the idea behind this. I just want to see what's the execution for. And look, if Laramie's worth a third-round pick before he gets paid, then Titus is probably worth the first pick in the fifth round.
Yeah,
like, I don't think they got crushed in the
I think it was
the
fair.
Value of the deal.
No, I think
based
it was
on what we've seen from other tackle deals, it makes sense.
This junkie said they should have received more than a fifth. Like, I mean, it is the first pick of the fifth round, so like let's keep that in the equation as we continue this conversation today, because it does kind of play into the other trade that the Houston Texans made. Look, I'm not a huge PFF guy. I do put a little bit of stock in PFF. Now, I don't think it tells you the end all be all. I think it's good to just like grab it and like here you go. He had a 62.7 overall grade last year, which out of 89 tackles was 58th.
Yeah, so he's
like that's
below average.
That's below average, yeah, according to PFF. Now, his pass block grade is 17th best at the tackle position. The run block grade is 79th. So, like, he's terrible blocking in the run game. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? At $21 million a year, boy, you'd like him to be a tackle, because it's a lot of money to pay for a guard. But then if you're paying a guard $21 million, he's got a run block rate of under 51 when they want to be this ground-and-pound team and run the football.
Yeah.
Like, I have no issue with this trade. And I know people are going to see the fifth and be like, that's not enough for a guy who is one of your best offensive linemen. I think he's slightly above average whenever we have an honest conversation about him. I think he's making too much money to be a guard. I'm not sure he run blocks good enough to be a guard. And I'm not sure he's good enough to be a tackle.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the run blocking is
a good tackle.
Yeah, look, the points you made there about the offense is, I think, what ultimately this comes down to, why they feel comfortable doing this. Not just the fact that he's going to walk, they're not going to pay him. But as you said, CJ Stroud, they're getting the ball out quicker. So do you need to have the best tackles in the world when you're supposed to be, you know, a slice and dice and dink and dunk kind of offense and move the ball in smaller chunks down the field and not be trying to air it out 40, 50 yards. Yeah, that can work with a lesser tackle. Mm-hmm. And where do we see them struggle the most last year?
Yeah.
In the red zone, in short yardage situations, on third and short, fourth and short, you know, first and goal. They struggled there all year long.
Yeah.
Hell, I mean, one of the NFL put out the top 10 Texans highlights plays of the season. One of them was a busted play. It was the snap that went under CJ Stroud's legs.
Some people thought it was by design.
It was not. So if you improve in the running game, which seems to be the theme of the day, then it works. And they clearly don't think he can run block.
Yeah.
The analytics at PFF, they show that. So you can upgrade. I was a little surprised that it happened now, and to your point as well, not with the post June 1st designation.
That would have been a lot better. But it does free up the cash, and they can navigate the waters, the choppy waters that is the finances.
Draft picks.
Yeah, Joe, you can trade draft picks
for this year's draft.
Future draft picks. No, what do you mean?
Can you trade a pick that's in April?
I've never seen that happen
for a post June. I don't think you can.
It wouldn't be a pick anymore; it'd be a player.
Yeah, so I think that's why I think you have to.
But I've never seen that.
Yeah, because even though we all know the trade's happening,
right?
Like, I think you have to. You can only trade for a 27.
That's why it wasn't post June,
which makes sense. Like, yeah, they wanted a pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it would have to be a future pick. I see what you're saying. The reason they wanted the pick is because they later had another trade, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yes,
Brian, your thoughts? We're split here. Joe doesn't like the trade, and it is fair, Joe, that you're like want to see what's next with the offensive line. Perfectly fair. I saw people today, Will Kunkel, posting the Texans offensive line would be this today. I'm like, come on, Will, what are you doing here, you fearmonger? I later saw Will. I was on a Zoom call with him 10 minutes later, and I confronted Will about it.
Yeah, I think three of the people Will posted might not even be on the team when the season starts.
To be fair to Will, he said he just wanted to type the name City So. So I was like,
that was his motivation.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what? I applaud that.
Honestly,
I respect
you tipped the cap.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize he was still going to be on the roster.
City Sal. Yeah, Sal? A boy named Sal.
It doesn't matter what his name is.
It's a boy named Sal.
A boy named Sal. I'm more on Joe's side. I'm not crying over the loss of Titus Howard because, like you guys have pointed out, he's an average offensive tackle. I agree with your assessment on that. It's more so the ability for the Texans, both with their financial restraints this year because of the salary cap and also Caserio's track record if they're trying to fix it through the draft. It's more, I don't like the idea of adding an extra offensive lineman that you then have to replace to only get back to fifth.
That. I hear you on that, but maybe we teased this question. 713-780-ESPN. Plenty to talk about today. You can watch twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can watch on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can see us, our ugly faces there. TikTok as well, ESPN975. Twitter, even, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacramento BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. So we know that Nick Caserio, over the course of his NFL life, hasn't been the best, right? He's been kind of meh. He's been kind of meh drafting offensive linemen, just kind of meh.
I would say he's below Matt, specifically offensive linemen.
Okay. Can we make the claim that he's on a heater because he found a starting left tackle in the second round?
Can you have a one?
Is he on a heater?
No.
You can't have
it's a heater.
One thing heater. The NBA jam rolls requires three.
Good okay. Call. So let me phrase it this way. How much has Nick Caserio alleviated the concern of his offensive line drafting woes because of Ursary? And does that give you the faith in Nick Caserio to build an offensive line? Because I agree with you, Joe. I think there's at least two new starters on this offensive line, maybe three, even upwards to four. Mm-hmm. And it could be upwards of four with a position change for Ursary.
Yeah.
I think today's move makes it three.
Let's talk it out on the other side. 713-780-3776. We're going to talk things out on the other side. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
NCAA March Madness is coming to Houston. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now at NCAA.com/MBB tickets.
This is ESPN 97.5. Listen.
listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Texas made a pair of trades. We haven't even touched on the running back trade for David Montgomery. Demo. The Rockets have their second Demo in Houston. Or the Houston team has their second Demo in Houston. That was what the Texans admin tweeted. Texans admin.
I saw that.
Like, which Texans admin? Like, okay. I see a working Texans admin. Just like posting like the little tornado emojis. And then you post a gif of, I don't even know how to say his name. Demotis Motionis? Denomis Motionis?
It was Demotis Motionis.
I think Brian got it right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Sounds better than me. Yeah, they posted a picture of him. It's like, okay, I know what you're alluding to. I didn't realize like you knew who Demo was.
I think it ages the admin.
I think it also localizes the admin.
Yes, it does.
Like he's probably my age.
Yeah.
He probably has my roots.
Probably.
Maybe it's me. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Julian, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's on your mind, Julian?
Man, what's going on, gentlemen?
Just hanging out.
So, now that Trent Williams is going to hear about Titus, I'm not that good, Howard getting a 3-year, $63 million deal, I think he's done in San Francisco. I'm tired of him being over there every offseason crying about money. How about we trade him to you guys for Danielle Hunter? No big deal.
Danielle.
You don't have to pay Danielle Hunter anymore. And you get a lineman.
First, you got to learn how to say his name, Julian.
No,
you got to say his name right.
I appreciate Hunter.
Can't call him Danielle. Danielle Hunter. Bang, bang, Niner game.
Yeah, you can have Danielle.
Names.
You can have Danielle.
I dare you, Julian, to go up to Danielle Hunter and call him Danielle. See how it goes for you. See how it goes for you with that hulking of a man.
Should we run him for that?
Nah, he's a Niner fan. He's a Niner fan. We're not gonna run people because they have allegiances to other teams outside of Houston.
No, it wasn't for banging.
It was for botching his name, though. But I feel like we should give him leeway because the Texans aren't his team. Like he doesn't need to know the pronunciation of Danielle Hunter's name because he's a Niner fan.
But you want him on your team.
Yeah. And we're not talking about any player. We're talking about potentially a Hall of Famer down the road.
I don't think it's fair that a fan should know the exact pronunciation of a player that's not on his team. I don't think that's fair.
What if, though, they face this year and that said player has the potential to be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Still no?
No. 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 I don't feel like that's too strict.
Not deserve to get run.
Definitely make fun of.
Yeah, make fun of.
Make fun of. But not a run. Yeah. Not a run. No, I feel like that's a little bit too steep.
I accept that.
Especially on a Monday. Now, it was Friday. And my patience is wearing thin, and we've had to deal with the dozens and dozens of junkies all week, then maybe on a Friday, maybe even a Thursday, depending on the week, depending on the mood that day. But early in the week, I like to get a little leeway, you know? A little leeway. So, Brian, you were asking the question, starting offensive lineman that you're replacing, right? The only one that's guaranteed back, Ursary?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Jake Andrews will be on the team.
On the team, but not necessarily starter.
Yeah, as of now, I don't think they can find four new starters. I mean, I guess they could, but I just don't see it happening. So I think Andrews.
They could re-sign Ingram.
Sure. Okay.
So now you're looking at three.
Yeah, it could be re-signing Ingram, and then Andrews is gone, and still be three new starters. I don't love the idea of having to find that many. I guess it's a good thing if the offensive line sucks, and that's I guess something you could talk me into. Well, of course you need to find three new starters because the offensive line's terrible,
right?
But yeah, just with this general manager's track record, it feels like a daunting task.
I would prefer they upgraded center. I don't think they have to. I would like them to.
You have Linderbaum dream still?
Well, no, I think he's going to be too pricey. But who's this Mays guy? Is it Mays from Carolina?
Yes.
That apparently has been linked to the Texans. Like, okay, that sounds neat. I would like a center who's good. But I think the way that it could play out, maybe this is just pipe dream. I don't know if it's pipe dream. Maybe just best case scenario. Is that you do re-sign Ed Ingram, which he was really good against the run. Which, again, the Texans are telling you they want to be a sound running team, right? So re-sign Ed Ingram, 15, 16, whatever it is. Maybe it's the Carolina guy, the Carolina center that they've been linked to. There's your center. Left guard, maybe it's a veteran left guard that isn't going to cost you an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it was the guy you mentioned from Cleveland, Wyatt Teller.
Oh, Wyatt Teller, yeah.
Wyatt Teller. Maybe it's him and you don't have to pay huge money there. It's a bridge guy. Like, he's probably only going to be a Texan for a year, but he's one of your guards. And then, you know, maybe you re-sign Trent Brown, hear me out, with the idea that you really want to outdraft him. You really want to draft a tackle, and Trent Brown is your swing tackle. But if the draft doesn't fall your way, you know that Trent Brown is at least capable, when healthy, which is a daunting task, I understand, of being one of your starting tackles. So, like, that to me is what I would kind of have the plan as if I was Nick Caserio, is that I would re-sign Ed Ingram. I would, in my free agency money, I'm signing a legit offensive lineman for, like, you know, top of the market, like maybe the Carolina center. I'm looking for a veteran bridge, which would be Teller at guard. And then, you know, Brown, you're signed as my swing tackle. We love you. We want to keep you here, big fella. But if there's a tackle that we love that we either trade up for or whatever the case may be, he's going to be at least one of our tackles, maybe Ursary flips, depending on whoever you draft. And then you have Ursary, rookie, or Trent Brown at tackles. Ed Ingram's your guard. Teller's your guard. And I think it's Mays, right?
The center from Carolina? I think you got that right.
He'd be your center. That's fine. Actually, that would be pretty exciting.
I mean, for me, it's the most important thing is you have your new five set before the draft starts. So that means, I like your plan for Trent Brown, and I'm fine with going past that, too.
Cade Mays.
Is that if you want to draft a center in the second round or in the third round, that could outpace Andrews in the offseason.
Okay, so you don't go center with Mays. Andrews is your starter, but you draft a second or third rounder
too.
If he beats him out. I like that, too. That's fine.
Look, and you can get offensive linemen. Like, Titus Howard traded for a fifth. He had to get paid right away. Last year, Joe Tooney traded for a fourth-round pick. Mm-hmm. So like you can use your existing draft capital to go get veteran guards. That, to me, is the first thing that they should probably do, is solve one of these spots through a trade.
That's a good idea.
Get one spot, whether tackle, guard, center. I don't really care which one it is.
The Texans traded a sixth for Ed Ingram.
Yeah.
So, like, go find another Ed Ingram.
Fine.
They also traded, was it Shaq Mason? I mean, Mason, his second year, I know we, like, you know, recency bias, all that.
First year was awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Compared to what else you've been getting.
Yeah. Like, he was good his first year. He was a disaster his second year. But, yeah.
You're a disaster.
There you go. So, like, I think that's a good avenue, too. Maybe it's a free agent. There's one of your offensive linemen. Okay, re-sign one, Ingram. Yep. Trade for another, whoever. Sign another, whoever. Maybe the veteran free agent, maybe not. Draft your opposite tackle, and then you're also drafting in the second, third round, whatever it may be, a guy who could eventually be another interior offensive lineman starter for you, whether it's a guard or center.
And frankly, I wouldn't care now at this point.
I think it's the worst thing in the world.
If we get to, you know, April 23rd and 24th, and they spend their first, second, and third round pick on tackle, guard, center.
Yeah.
And just bring in the young core of the future and throw a bunch of darts at the board and hope that at least two of the three hit. Probably your first round pick, but really you want to go 3 for 3 there, obviously, if you can. But I think the most important thing is having what looks like a okay to competent offensive line on paper on April 23rd. Then you go into the draft and you add to it. You can't be going into the draft with two questions.
It's a great take.
On your offensive line and being like, okay, well, we have to take the best tackle, even if he's the 50th player on our board. We have to take him at 28 because, well, we don't have a tackle. Like, and same thing with guard in the second round. You have to go into the draft with competency, and then hopefully you draft guys that can, hell, even beat out an Ed Ingram if it played out that way.
Yeah, or he's just taking your spot in 2027.
And that's fine, too. And guys are going to get hurt.
Joe, that's a great idea.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Those are fine scenarios. I have no problem with those scenarios. Like, you're still going to be fine. An offensive, that's why, like, people feel like they're so upset. Oh my goodness, they traded Titus Howard in a 67 PFF grade. Like, when have you ever been like, that Titus Howard, man, that guy is a, you should build your offensive line around him.
It's been a couple years.
And, like, I get the whole, like, hey, you're poaching a starter, you have to replace it, I get it. But he also wanted a contract extension. Like, a lot of times we lose factor of the finances when it comes to these moves. He literally signed a $63 million contract today.
Yeah.
Like, we just kind of, like, overlooked that. Oh, the Texans only got was a fifth for him. They didn't want to pay him $21 million. They didn't want to pay him 21 a year. They didn't want to give him 63 over three.
So then the other question.
You see Titus's quotes, Aaron Wilson?
Not surprised.
Yeah, he's not surprised. I kind of saw it coming. Yeah. I wonder why. Because they were talking in the back channel saying he wanted to get extended. And Nick Caserio said, I respect that. And I want you to get paid. It just ain't going to be here.
I mean, there were people wondering last year if he was going to get traded in the same offseason as Tunsil last year.
Yeah.
And they're just going to totally tear it down in one offseason.
Yeah, plus.
And maybe they should have.
That bully came after me once on the internet.
He did.
Titus Howard once came after me at the internet. And big fella. Big fella, as you fly out of town, remember which one of us two lasted longer in this city.
So, Branham's secret Texas GM
that big fella.
Running out his enemies?
Running them out. Laramie Tunsil, Titus Howard both tried to come at me.
Enemies of Branham. Both got traded away.
Who won this last longer?
You did.
Who won the last longer?
You did.
Look out, Chandler Room.
No.
Chandler.
I was going to say, Chandler's probably the next target here.
Well, I mean, would it surprise you if all of a sudden he was the beat writer in Boston?
No.
Philadelphia?
No.
That guy's not long for Houston.
Who's next on your list?
That's all the list. I don't have a very long list. I don't have a very long list.
I wasn't sure if, you know, I think there's one other guy on your list.
Who?
DFS.
Oh, Dorian Finney-Simmons. I don't dislike him personally. He just sucks at basketball.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, he's fine. I don't know him. Yeah. I have no issue with him personally. He just really sucks at basketball.
There's a guy that calls baseball occasionally that you just
like. Yeah, but
like.
He's not in the city, really.
Okay, that's
true. He's
kind of
national.
Run him out
of.
Yeah.
This is my city. And today, Titus Howard learned that this city belongs to Branham.
Loser Leafs town match. Titus lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost.
The real David and Goliath matchup, you know?
So do you trust Casera to fix these problems?
See, I generally like Casera as a GM. Like I like him more than I don't. I don't think he's a 10 out of 10. I think he's about a 7-3 out of 10, though. Like, I like Casera. Now, I would acknowledge that his weakness has been the offensive line. Now, I do think that Ariante Ursary gives him some grace, though. Like, to me, it does give him a little bit of, okay, maybe he has learned a little bit from his mistakes. And look, the second trade we'll talk to in a little bit, he traded Juice Scruggs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's for the second offseason in a row an admission that he has drafted bad offensive linemen. Last year was Kenyon Green, who he drafted in the first round. Now it's Juice Scruggs, who he reached and traded up for, that he's admitting he got wrong. So, you know, what have you done for me lately, as the old saying goes.
Honestly, and Scruggs will probably play out the exact same way. Probably won't be on the Lions.
Why do you keep looking back?
I don't know.
I'll
tell you later.
Okay, all right.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, it's just like, that's a really big miss. I mean, obviously, Kenyon Green, the biggest miss, but Juice Scruggs, a second-round pick, basically became a throw-in. So you'd only had up the pick from a fit, or what was it, from a 5 to a 4? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, just, I don't know.
No, he missed some juice. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, it definitely, I wouldn't say he's trending in the right direction.
No, because I'm not willing to say Ursary's a home run yet.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a home run, but I think he's obviously solid.
He's solid, but like if we're going to give stock to PFF grades, his grade's like a 60. The second lowest.
Starting left tackle, though. Like, I didn't mean to say starting left tackle. I meant to say rookie left tackle.
Sure.
Like, we would expect that to increase.
Hopefully.
We also expected that with Stroud, and it's kind of went like that, so.
We also expected that from the other offensive lineman he missed on, and they've all been duds.
Which one?
Well, Green, Juice, and Blake Fisher.
I don't know if those guys ever showed you what Ursary did in his rookie year, though.
I would argue Kenyon Green showed a decent amount as a run blocker in his rookie year. And a lot of the hope was, well, maybe the other side of it will come around, and obviously it never did.
Yeah, he was a good run blocker. Like, he was solid in that department. Pass blocker, he was
no, he was
atrocious.
Horrible.
Yeah, I think
Brian was a better pass blocker
for real.
Kenyon Green.
They just didn't show anything. So I can't give them – hopefully they did learn a lesson. Whatever their evaluation process that they were getting wrong, whether it was betting on traits versus actual, you know, in projection versus actual just, you know, being good at football.
Yeah.
Whatever was wrong with the Fisher, Scruggs, and Green picks, hopefully they've righted that wrong. I just can't give them the benefit of the doubt through the draft yet. Everything they do in the draft, it's trending.
It's trending up.
Your point
you can't
too
trend
high.
Up off of one.
Your arrow.
They're all timed.
If this is the graph, it's stopped moving down, but it's not moving up yet.
They're all pieces on the timeline, right? They're all pieces. Like Ursary's up here compared to these guys.
If we draw the line graph, it's stopped going down, but it's not going up yet.
Yeah, your curve.
No,
is
it
too
has
high.
To be up.
It's up.
No, it has to be up. You go. Who was the last offensive lineman that you would put in front of Ursary that was drafted? Would it be Scruggs? Like, if you just go draft picks for Nick Casario,
yeah, I guess we're talking about four guys.
Rounds.
We're talking about four
so, like,
guys.
So, like, Ursary would be higher than the most recent guy before him. So, that means it is up.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right.
It is up. Now, the next one, we'll see.
I mean, it's going up, but it's like,
up. Yeah, it's a 52-week high.
It's like this. It's like.
So, Casario should sell high.
What year is this
out.
For Nick Casario? 6 year? This is Nick Casario, 6 year high.
Yeah.
He likes the market. He would appreciate this kind of lingo, this kind of language. Is it common for teams to consistently miss on first and second round offensive lineman picks? No, it is not. I think Linderbaum is a realistic option. No, I think he's made too much money. Paulo, have you guys touched on Johnson going to the Eagle staff? If not, what are your thoughts and how do you think he impacts the Eagle staff? Hopefully well. I saw him at the Fertitta Center the other day. I sent him a text and said, hey, congratulations on the Philly job. It's a good landing spot. Didn't have a chance to come over. Family looks great. He ghosted me again.
I mean,
didn't even respond?
I think our friendship is dead.
Did he leave you on red?
He did not respond.
Well, did he leave you on red? You know he saw it.
I don't know how you can tell that. Oh, it says red.
Yeah.
Some people don't have that turned on.
And I know that he looks at his phone.
I don't have that on.
I was
people would be mad at me.
Yeah, I have.
No,
it
he
on.
Doesn't have it on.
Okay,
but it says delivered.
It says delivered. So he got it, but we don't know.
I think this is officially ended the relationship between Gerard Johnson and I.
Just to clarify, did he?
Now
ask,
I'm gonna blame him
now. Those tickets?
I'm gonna blame him now.
Okay.
For the failures of CJ Stroud. I didn't text him before. I saw him before the news broke. I texted him after the news broke. I didn't see him. Like, I saw him from afar. He didn't see me. But he did leave me on red.
Yeah.
delivered, I guess.
We assume on red.
He probably just
probably on
trash.
Yeah. I think he was looking at his phone a lot, so I think he saw my text.
Yeah, he just but, who's this guy?
Yeah.
This
so I think that the friendship and the relationship
who's
between Gerard Johnson and I has officially ended.
Did you
I
say,
still wish him well though. I don't carry grudges.
No, did you say
often.
Hey, this is Jeremy Branham?
No. We have a text history.
Yes. Is it possible he has you saved as Jeffrey Branham?
No, he wouldn't have known that.
Okay.
Unless he's an avid listener to the station.
He might delete his texts. And he might not save his contacts, so you might just send some random number to him. You never know.
It's possible. It could be a random number. It could be a random number.
So he thought you were just a rando.
But either way, yeah. our relationship, I declare.
Is that a number you have saved?
I do have Gerard's number saved, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, do you want it now? I don't care. Our friendship's over. Y'all want it? I can dox him. Our friendship's over. I don't care. See what I care. Julian texts in, says, I know the correct pronunciation. I say it that way on purpose, LOL. # bang bang Niner gang. Okay, I respect that. Scouting report on Drew Scruggs says he plays like a block of Velveeta. Great the joke.
Oh, would you see? That's reference to, I think it was a Tom Pelissero tweet. Did you guys see it?
I didn't see it.
He quote tweeted the report like, the Lions want to get more physical in the offensive line. Here's Juice Scruggs scattering report, and of course everyone's dunking. I was like, bro, if he played like a block of granite, because that was the quote, the Texans wouldn't have traded him.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know why Pelissero was carrying water for the Lions on this deal, but he definitely did.
Yeah, it was strange to reference, like, probably Lance's pre-draft scouting report on Juice Scruggs.
Yeah, from what, 3 years ago?
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
That's anymore. What they do, though. That's what they do. That's what everybody does.
Pelissero seems to, I don't know, he seems to, like, tweet for the agents more than others.
I hear you on that. But, like, when people, like, they always, like, refer back to, like, when they were drafted. They're always like, oh, well, this is what he was when he was drafted. It's like, well, bro, he's got, like, 3 years of film.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he is who he was, who drafted to be. Another junkie says no faith in Casario. If Casario doesn't pick up any offensive line help in the draft, how quickly should he be fired? Eric the Buyer. Why does it have to be the draft, though? It doesn't have to be the draft.
I mean, he's going to get offensive line help in the draft.
Yeah.
Are they good? We'll see.
Junkie, Mattress Mag, Beyonce, and Jeremy Branham. There you go.
Wow.
I told y'all, Junkies, no ball. Junkies, no ball.
That's a lofty
Junkies,
group
no
you're
ball.
A part of.
What, it was Mattress Mag that put himself on the Mount Rushmore?
He did, yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Three of the four. Mattress Mag, Beyonce, Jeremy Branham. Yeah. Who else belongs on the Mount Rushmore with us?
Who belongs next
Maybe
to you?
Maybe JJ? What? Maybe?
Yeah.
I'll say
maybe
JJ.
Akeem Olajuwon?
I'll say probably Dream.
Maybe Altuve? I don't know. Mattress Mag, Beyonce, and I will get together and we'll decide.
Maybe Tillman?
I mean, he's got a nice stadium or arena and nice restaurants.
He does have good. Yeah, they're all very nice.
He's done a lot for the city.
He's got a pier.
He does.
He's got a boardwalk.
He has two. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He has a pier and a boardwalk.
What does that guy have? He's got a boardwalk. He's got a pier. I think he's got a helicopter.
Like, if you're friends with Tillman
buildings
Fertitta,
and arenas.
Like,
yeah.
What could you possibly buy him for a gift?
Nothing.
Yeah. It'd be pointless.
We can ask Granato.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, what'd you get Tillman for his birthday, Granato?
My presence.
Like,
but I understand.
A Coors Light. Probably
a Coors Light.
Yeah.
Probably one Coors Light.
All right. So the second trade the Texans made. This is the one that's catching some heat, Joe. People, and you, I guess, especially, don't like this either. So the Texans have also traded their fourth round pick, their seventh round pick, and their offensive lineman, Juice Scruggs, to the Detroit Lions for David Montgomery.
It's the 7th and 27.
Okay. All right. Who cares? I don't care about seven rounders.
So
I don't wipe my face with seventh-round draft picks.
No, I don't care about seventh-round drafts.
I don't care about six-rounders, and I don't care about seventh-rounders.
No, they're throw-ins, and if they end up being good special teams players, good. But that's it. They're just used to make moves at this point. Look, it's not that I like Dave Montgomery, the player. I mean, he's one of my he's one of my favorite running backs I've ever watched.
Really?
I've loved Dave
that
Montgomery.
That feels lofty.
Yeah, no. It feels random. I ask 100 people on the street, who's your favorite running back?
Yeah, he used to be a Bear.
When he went, like, okay. Remember when he went 90 on the Texans on the first play of the game, like 5 years ago?
Yeah, he's. I mean, I just didn't know I would hear you
he
say
have, that. It was his second year in the league where he went crazy?
Yeah, like I love David Montgomery. In fantasy. Yeah, I used to love David Montgomery. The player's fine. It's more...
I mean, that seems like a big leap. We went from loving and favorite player to five.
At this point,
he's dead to him now. He's a Lion.
He's 29. He's a Texan now. He's 29. The production's still there when you look at it analytically.
Yeah.
Like it's... The numbers still match up to what he had done in previous years, but he just didn't have the ball as much because of Jahmyr Gibbs. So the lack of production that's on the box score, if that's what you're looking at, is not, I think, equatable to what he is. It's more I think you could have got him for less. I guess not, because it seems like they had a deal done for a fifth-round pick.
Right.
And then someone swooped in.
Well, the report came out yesterday that he could be had for a fifth-rounder. And then there were some reports that leaked today that said the Texans are trading a fifth.
That's what all the David Montgomery.
That was the initial report.
And then everybody's like, no, that's not the case. He's going to go for a fourth, a seventh, and juice. And people think that there was another team that upped the Texans' offer. So, like, there's been people in my timeline being, oh, the Texans got fleeced. They were going to cut him anyways. Like, no, he had the fifth-round value at minimum. If we believe the reports, which a lot of times, you know, reports can be wrong. But if we believe the reports, and this one does feel sincere, this one does feel authentic and correct, that there was at least two teams that were willing to trade a fifth rounder for David Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the Texans were the first one to do it. Another team probably with a better fifth rounder said, okay, we'll give you a better fifth. And the Texans said, okay, well, to jump that one, here's what the package we'll give to you. And the Lions ultimately said, okay, you are the highest bidder. So this was the price for David Montgomery. This wasn't like, hey, we're going to trade you the 12th pick, the 32nd pick, a future first, future fourth for pick number three. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there were multiple teams that were in on David Montgomery at the fifth round price.
So I like the player. I just don't know if I like the fit because of what's in front of him. I don't know if Dave Montgomery is a running back that can help be the reason why your offensive line looks better than it actually was. Joe Mixon, right? His first year with the Texans. We know that offensive line was not great at run blocking, but Joe Mixon found a way to be productive behind it. I'm not sure David Montgomery is still that guy.
Is that why you acquire a running back, though?
No.
To make your offensive line look better?
No, I just don't know if he's going to have success without Nick Cassero doing major work.
I feel like you're changing the question, though.
A little bit.
Like, the question should be, how do you feel about the trade?
The trade's fine. Like giving up a fourth round pick for a running back at 29, I would have liked it to be a fifth, but if there's two teams in the market is what the market is.
So you're telling everybody, kind of temper your expectations. You don't think he's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, I just, okay. And it's not because of David Montgomery, it's because of the offensive line in front of him. Now, Nick Cassero can solve that problem, and I think it can be a good 1-2 combo.
Like, what do you expect the offensive line to be, though? Like, they're going to add.
They're going to add, but they added last year. It didn't really get any better. It did a little bit in pass pro, but
best offensive line Casario's ever had here, he said.
It was, according to Casario.
According to the tape he watched.
Nick Casario says this is the best offensive line Nick Casario has ever assembled.
And then he traded away one of the top two offensive linemen,
which I do like the trade. Do you want to know my take on this trade?
Yes.
No? I'll tell you on the other side. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. And before I tell you that take, I got to tell you about HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. Mike Holla, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for 25 years now. Can you believe that? Chris Fisher over there, he's good people. Little Granado over there, he's good people. They have all good people at HRP. They only hire good people. I drove by HRP the other day, in fact. They still got that scarlet and white U of H flag that they raise properly and proudly each and every day. But HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services like HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. You're not reading off a menu. It's not cookie cutter with them. You need a little help, a lot of help. HRP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. They're going to tailor a plan just like you want it. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side. You'll always call someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can attest to their customer service. It's fantastic. For me, a lot of times it's an email. Always a quick response, always very easy to understand. They're always a great ally to have in your corner. They're always stay up to date with what's going on in the business world, the trends. They know what's happening there, the legalities, the new laws. They're always up to date on that, which makes them a great ally for you, especially this time of year with tax season approaching. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate those HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or visit them online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, you ready for my take on David Montgomery?
Ready.
Well, I'll give it to you after we take this call from Marcus. 713-780-3776. Marcus, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Marcus?
What's up, fellas? After saying that this is Caserio's 6th, 7th year in Houston, and he's constantly whiffed on free agent offensive linemen and drafting offensive linemen, I think this he has to hit. Like, it can't be anything less than like a B grade for him to keep his job, because at this point, the second most valuable position in football is the offensive line, and this is a singular position that's holding this team back. You're going to risk losing the entire locker room. You're going to waste great defensive players, youth and prime, if you don't get this right. So I think if he don't nail it completely this year, he has to go. And I know that the adage would be, well, who, if not him, then who? At this point, we just have to roll the dice, because he's literally holding us back with this poor draft and then poor free agent signings on the offensive side of the ball. And I hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
I think that's fair. I like Caserio if he's drafting defensive players. I really don't think he has a good track record on offense at all.
How do you like Nico Collins?
Outside of Nico.
How do you like CJ Stroud?
Not great right now.
Okay, fair. I mean, that was kind of up and down. How do you like Jaden Higgins?
I like Higgins.
Higgins had a good rookie year. How do you like Tank Dell?
Yeah, I like Tank. Tank makes it, because it's hard to not factor in Tank, the good Tank.
How do you feel about Arian Tursery?
I think he's fine.
Okay, all right. We're just pointing out some guys that are
I think there's a bunch of fine players on offense outside of Nico. Defensively, he drafts elite players.
Yeah, I don't like the conversation being he drafts bad offensive players. To me, the conversation is he's not good at evaluating offensive linemen. I don't like widening the scope to include the entire offense. That's why I came out so aggressive to that, because I think that he has drafted offense fine. I don't feel great right now about Stroud, but once upon a time I felt great about Stroud.
It's been a couple years.
Yeah, but I mean, if you had that kind of rookie year with Stroud, I mean, that's a pretty good draft pick. If he has failed since his rookie year, is that on the GM? Maybe a little bit, because you don't protect him, you don't give him skill.
Yeah,
a lot of it's on the coaching for not developing him. I think it's 50-50.
I think with Stroud, it's kind of all of the above problem.
Same.
Stroud problems, offensive line problems, coaching problems. It just has not worked out in his favor, and things have gone wrong in a lot of ways. So I don't trust him as much. In terms of being on the hot seat, I don't think Marcus is too far off. We're trending in a direction where you have all these coaches getting fired. We know D'Amico's going to be safe.
Uh-huh.
If someone's going to be the next scapegoat, it feels like it would be Caserio.
Yeah, I think we are far off.
You think we are?
Yeah, I think his seat, like if you were talking about the warmth of the seat, if this was like a what do they call them? The heat blankets, the warm blankets. What do they call those things?
A heated blanket.
Yeah. If this was a heated blanket and the scale is 1 to 10 and how hot is the seat for Caserio? I think it's like a 2. Like the season would have to go unbelievably bad for him to even get on the hot seat. Like, we're looking at a 5-12 season for him to get fired. Like, I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, I just wonder with all the John Carroll stuff.
I don't think.
But they're allowing it. They're not unhappy with it. They're like they're co-signing it.
I think you're forgetting who's would be making that decision. Like, I don't think Cal and Hannah are displeased with Casario at all.
I think they're pretty happy.
I don't even think they care about the John Carroll thing. That's not even on their radar.
Well, if they did care, they wouldn't continue to allow it.
They would have stopped it.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point, if the offensive line is the reason why this team continues to not succeed, the blame's going to have to go to someone else. And, I mean, you can just fire Popovich at the end of the year and hire another offensive line coach.
Well, yeah, I think that would be a scapegoat before Nick.
Yeah,
it'd be the offensive
If he has another draft where pretty quickly we realize that none of these guys are playable in year one and we're not sure about their long-term future, if he drafts another Blake Fisher, Juice Scruggs, Kenyon Green quality player or two of them, I just wonder when the patience does wear
through. Yeah, I just think Nick Caserio in totality, though, has been a good drafter. Like, maybe if we talk specifically about the offensive line, I will concede that. But let me just look at the draft picks he's had. Higgins, I thought, was good this year. Ursary, good this year. Both of them were second rounders. Woody Marks flashed as a fourth rounder. You go back to last year, he got Kamari Lassiter in the second. He got Kalen Bullock in the third. C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. Like, that was obviously a great draft. Now it was 2-3. He got Tank Dell in the third. Henry To'oTo'o has been a starter for him in the fifth. Prior to that, Derek Stingley at the time. Like,
it was risky.
That was over Sauce.
Yeah.
Like, that was a success. Now, he's the year you drafted Kenny Green. That didn't turn out good. Jalen Petrie was a second rounder that year. That was pretty good. Nico Collins in his first year when he didn't have a first and a second rounder. Like, if we're grading Nick Caserio the drafter, I give him a solid B+.
I think you also have to look, we don't want him as the starter, but you have to throw in getting a very quality backup in Davis Mills in the third round. I believe that was his first draft, right?
Yeah, it was. That was his first ever pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his first draft, he has no first, no second. He walks away with a quality starting backup with Davis Mills and Nico Collins a stud.
And to defend him a little more, even though I'm on the other side of this, is like, I think you have to give him credit for, as much as we give grief about offensive line, where you drafted Jared Patterson.
Got
some good value out of him as a somewhat competent backup and has been a starter on this team and was frankly better than Juice Scruggs pretty much the entire time that they were together on the same offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
He
got Hutchinson in the sixth that year, too.
Yeah,
who Hutchinson's played a good amount player. Of snaps this past year.
I don't know. I feel like the blame has to shift somewhere else.
Yeah, you like to assign blame quickly. Like, I don't live in that world. Like,
yeah. But the offensive line's been bad his entire time here.
Yeah, to me, you don't fire guys because, like, in a unit of the football team has been bad.
When it's the unit that's stopping you from winning?
No. Like, you could also make the claim that Nick Caserio, because of his roster building, is the reason that you are winning.
You're right.
I don't live in the world of, like, well, this unit sucks, so let's fire the GM. I live in the world of, do you have faith in that guy to lead you in the direction you want to be led at? Do you think you can improve at that position? Like, I don't look at, like, the rear view, like, oh, he sucks at drafting offensive linemen. That's going to happen. Like, I understand it's frustrating, and, like, if you hit on those picks, everything's way better, but you're going to miss on picks. It's the world of the NFL. So the question, and I can't believe we're having a Nick Caserio hot seat conversation, quite frankly. The question should never be like, well, the offensive line sucks. Let's continue to fire people until we fire Nick. The question should be, do you think that Nick Caserio is the best general manager for this team? And if you don't think that, is the guy you're going to hire an improvement? And if the answer to that is yes, then okay, let's have the conversation. But up until then, I have no desire to fire Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in a rush to do it right now. I don't think the patience is as needed as it should be when you haven't reached the heights that you intended to as a franchise. And a lot of it.
Like, I mean,
he's done a really good job.
The team was terrible when he took over.
I know it was.
They were a train wreck.
It was, for sure. I mean, he's just, whether it's through draft or free agency, like outside of one good Shaq Mason season, it just hasn't really hit anywhere on the offensive line. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt about Ursary.
Okay.
I think there's something there.
You don't think Ingram had a good year?
He did, but I don't know if he had a good year for what his new contract's going to be.
Well, they haven't re-signed him yet. The Texans haven't made that decision.
Yeah, that's my hesitation with Ingram is I think I like him as a million-dollar player. I don't know if we're going to like him as much as a $12 million
player. The whole Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
He's a guy you draft in the second, not that you give a huge contract.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. Maybe like he'll prove me wrong.
And no, you might be right, but you can't hold it against Nick yet because that hasn't happened.
No, you're right. But he's, at this point, he still has to replace him or bring him back.
The John Carroll New England guys are to give protection to Nick. If ownership starts asking questions, Ryan needs to look out. D'Amico Ryans is the face that runs the place. D'Amico Ryans has the full authority of that organization. D'Amico Ryans has nothing to worry about. If D'Amico knocked on Cal and Hannah's door today, he'd see Cal and the beanbag playing video games and Hannah running things. But if D'Amico is like, I need Nick out, they would say how quickly. Like,
yeah,
what
did D'Amico buy a ticket out?
Yeah, D'Amico doesn't need to look out. D'Amico is making all the important decisions in that organization.
He's got
to
be one of the top safest coaches in the league,
and it should be that way.
Yeah,
like, I like D'Amico. D'Amico should have more power than Nick. Now, Nick Cassero controls the roster. I think they have a great balance, by the way. I don't think there's any dissent between the two. They both speak really great about each other, and it's one thing to do it publicly, but it seems like they really have a great working relationship, and everything I've heard that they do. I do think Nick Caserio has control of the roster. D'Amico might have some influence, and hey, I really like this guy. And Nick's like, okay, let's take the guy you like. But if one of them, like if you had the whole Bill O'Brien, Brian Gain situation, Bill O'Brien, Rick Smith situation, where like the owner's bringing him to dinner and like one of you has to go, loser leaves town, who's going, who are they going to pick?
D'Amico.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
It's not even close.
They're
you
picking him 10 times out of 10.
Questions.
What do you mean D'Amico needs to look out? D'Amico is the safest person in that organization outside of ownership. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to look out. Nick needs to look out. Nick needs to be careful with all the John Carroll guys. And if they fail and D'Amico's sick of it and he thinks that you fooled him, well, then all of y'all are gone. John Carroll can annex Texas. Or Texas can annex John Carroll.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't need to worry.
No, not at all. It's... And Cassero probably doesn't need to worry either. I just think the heat is starting to get turned up a little bit.
I don't think so. I personally don't think so.
I think there'd be 10 people on that offensive staff that would get fired before Cassero.
Uh-huh. I hope so.
And but... Kaylee would get run out. Popovich would get run out. All the assistants would get run out before they fire Cassero. To me, like the move, not that it's actually being considered, but the move to fire Cassero would be kind of like the old saying, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Like, let's throw out a guy because he can't hit one position while he's nailing all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's bad on the offensive line, no doubt about it. But I'd rather have a guy that I know can nail every position but one than the uncertainty of the opposite.
Yeah, I agree. Sarcastically, our new Toro district will attract a ton of free agents. We have nothing to worry about. That's pretty funny. Josh from Seabrook, the problem with Nick that I have now is that when it comes to the offensive line, Cassero reminds me too much of Charlie Casserly. Why? Like, what's the context there? Like, how does Nick Cassero and Charlie Casserly draw a comparison there? What Joe is saying is that you can buy wheels and tires, but if the car don't run, we ain't going nowhere. Just because we brought in a proven running back doesn't mean a whole lot until the problem at the line gets fixed. Even if the offensive line is terrible, do you want a better running back or a worse running back?
You want a better running back, yes.
Like that's like they're vacuum. Like I understand that the running game isn't going to be totally fixed with only the running back. Totally understand. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Like I get it. I get that it takes both units being very good, probably more offensive line than running back, but they're two different commodities. One is the running back room, the other is the offensive line room. Like do you want the better running back or do you want the worse running back? Independent of what the offensive line looks like. The answer, no matter what the offensive line looks like, is always the better running back.
Yeah, I think the more...
And the Texans didn't give up a piece here that is going to deprive you from being able to attack the offensive line. In fact, it could have helped you.
Yeah, and honestly, because of the draft capital that Cassero has obtained, it's not like they gave up a fourth and said, now we don't have a fourth-round pick to trade to go get a guard or a tackle or a center. They still have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I do give him credit, too, where he has enough draft capital, good draft capital, honestly, this year. The trades he moved, we're getting picks from the Giants, Commanders, and Raiders now, who all have top, what, six picks in the rounds, has really amplified the Texans' draft capital compared to where it should be this year.
Yeah.
So they're not done yet. This is nowhere near done.
But even if you, like... The offensive line ranking doesn't matter to me. If you have the 10th best offensive line or you have the 30th best offensive line, do you want the better running back behind either one of them?
You want the better running
back. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand that thought process, really. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Uncle Barney, let me refresh your memory. You were not born at night. My bad. 713-780-3776. You want to know what I think about the Montgomery trade? I'll tell you on the other side. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Flight by Yingling. They will be back out at McIntyre's in Webster tomorrow, March 3rd. Proud partner of the Dallas Stars. They will be there at McIntyre's again in Webster right off the NASA Parkway tomorrow starting at 4:30. Stop by. Register to win a flyaway trip to see the Stars. take on the Philadelphia Flyers on March 29th and snag some exclusive Flight by Yuengling gear. The trip includes two tickets, airfare, and hotel. Must be 21 or older to enter. An awesome trip coming up. Again, it's a free tickets, airfare, and hotel to see the Dallas Stars take on the Philadelphia Flyers on March 29th. All you got to do is go to McIntyre's and Webster on the NASA Parkway tomorrow to enter to win.
ESPN 97.5.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday. All at once, your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk, your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.